This session was recorded August 9th, 2018 in Phoenix, Arizona. For more information, please see our website at www.lisaroyal.net or our Facebook page, the Lisa Royal group page. This session is copyright 2018 by Seed of Life Institute. Good evening, everyone. It's Sasha here. Hello there.
Hello.
Hello. Hello, old friends and new friends, too. Lisa has given you a little bit of an introduction about our Pleiadian orientation and what you can expect during the session. So tonight, we have a specific trajectory, let's say, that we wish to take with a specific lesson to give. And we think that as we get going with it, you'll understand why we are bringing it up. And then once we have unloaded it, so to speak, then, of course, as always, we will open the floor to your comments and questions, which is a great gift to us when you share with us in that way. All right, so bear with us then as we begin this meandering lecture. And you might not know where we're going to end up, but we promise you, you will know where we're going to end up and it will make sense. So first of all then, what we want to do is to give you a perspective. We know some of you maybe who have heard us before have heard some of this, but we're going to use it to connect with the broader lesson for tonight. So many of you have heard about the idea of holographic consciousness. And maybe it has been like an abstract idea. But we want to give you more of a very clear feeling and sense of what that entails and why it is so significant right now on your world, especially in this time of heightened intensity, yes? Wouldn't you say heightened intensity? All right. So if we look at the idea of a hologram then, what is it? Well, first let's talk about what it is not. All right? And we found a very, very simple example to give that can show you the difference between what is and what is not a hologram. If I have a picture of an apple, and like I've torn it out of a magazine as an example, and I show it to you, picture of an apple, but then I tear all the pieces, I tear the page into tiny little pieces. Then you have the tiny pieces on the floor, and if you want to see the complete image of the apple, then you actually have to put them together like a jigsaw puzzle. Okay, that's not a hologram. What is a hologram is if I had a picture of an apple and I tore it into minuscule pieces and then I picked up each tiny piece and looked at it and lo and behold, the full image of the apple is still on every single piece. Those little pieces we would call, for the lecture tonight, we'll call them fractals. They are fractals of the hologram. And for show and tell, we have a little fractal here, all right, which is basically repeating patterns as you go smaller and smaller and smaller. So, no matter how tiny that piece of a torn holographic apple image is, the full apple is on the image. You absolutely cannot destroy the completeness of the image. Okay? So now we bring this metaphor to your consciousness. And you look at the myriad of individual beings you have on your world, that are walking around in unique bodies. And on the surface, it looks as if all you individual people are not a hologram, meaning that you are all individual pieces, and the idea of wholeness is to bring all the pieces together like a jigsaw puzzle. That's kind of old school understanding of collective consciousness, but it is not accurate. So, we apologize for this every time we do it, because in nearly every workshop we make this diagram, but here we go again, although perhaps in Japan it's more relevant to apologize. Maybe it's new for most of you. So, we've drawn on the board this circle. It's meant to be a sphere. Now, this is representative of the one holographic consciousness that exists in creation. There's only one. And this one consciousness, when it is at rest, is non-dual. It just is. Now, when you have non-duality, you can say, in a sense, you have no movement. You only have rest. You have abiding consciousness. Movement only comes through the creation of duality. Again, it's similar to the idea of the batteries that run your tape recorders, like right here on the table. You have to have the positive end and the negative end to create the electrical charge that powers your devices. So then, if the one consciousness wishes to experience, let's say, a new type of experience that is not at rest, that is not in oneness, it has to create duality in order to fuel, let's say, the journey to create a very different type of experience that isn't at rest, but is in motion through the interplay of the dualistic energies. Okay? Now, so this one consciousness then said to itself, again, we're making up a little story here, said to itself, I wonder what it would be like not to be whole or at rest. I wonder what it would be like not to know myself. So, it created then within itself, because you can't create anything outside of it because it is everything. We just had to draw the circle with the limitations of this dimension. So it created a realm within itself where it could explore the idea of separation, where it could explore the idea of duality. And then it began to fragment. So it began to create, you could say, in a sense, fractals of itself. However, these fractals, even though they contain the complete image of the apple, so to speak, they have, in a sense, again, we have to speak metaphorically, have turned away from each other. The fragments have turned away from each other. They don't see each other. And if they bump into each other, then when they look at each other, they don't recognize the complete image of the whole in the other person because they've forgotten the complete image of the whole within themselves. So this would be what biblically, you've called the fall. The fall is not a punishment. It's not because you're evil. It's not because somebody kicked you out of a garden or anything like that. It is because in your separation, you've turned away from the remembrance of your true nature for a specific purpose to have a specific journey. And part of that journey means that when you look at another person, that other person or that other fragment does not cause you to remember who you are. It in fact causes you to self-identify as different. And then you continue to have then that separation. So if we're to look at this process from a universal level of the initial separation and the movement into deep polarity, that deepest part of polarity is the time in which you have forgotten who you are the most. Then the natural wave of the energy of creation moves you eventually out of that intense separation and that intense polarity, and you start to have inklings, little flashes of your wholeness, but they're ephemeral. It's like you can't grasp them at first, but you feel something a little bit abstract or a little bit unnameable within you, and then that grows and grows and grows until you start getting the feeling through the observation of synchronicity, perhaps, that, wow, what Harry is experiencing, I'm experiencing too, in my own way. Harry must be another image of me. And as this awareness starts to build, we're talking now about basically the evolutionary process of this whole exploration into duality. As you come out of the polarity and you start to have those awarenesses now that everything outside of you is a reflection of you, then you start to be able to feel in a tangible way the connectedness. However, at this point of evolution, which is where you all are now on a scale of evolution, you're feeling the connectedness, but the mind is still protesting that person is different. That person's beliefs or their attitudes is still not me. I don't have that within me. So there's still this conflict, there's this tension, whereby the heart is feeling the connection, but the mind is pushing the connection away. And this is a very significant part of the evolution for any planet that has begun an incarnational process into physicality. This is quite natural. We'd say 99.9% civilizations go through this, because this is the point of physicality, is to get to that point of non-remembrance in order to, in a sense, savor the experience of awakening to your true nature again. All right, so some of you have heard various versions of that story, but there's a reason we're telling it. Well, actually, there's 50,000 reasons we're telling it. Before we go forward, though, we do want to backtrack to what we just said about this conflict people are feeling. It's getting really strong on your planet, because there is that sense of knowing and feeling the connectedness, but being shocked, let's say, by the actions of others or the things happening in the world. And there's this sense of not being able to reconcile how you can be one and yet still see these horrendous, shocking things going on in your world. All right, so part of the distress that we know that many of you are feeling has to do with this dichotomy, this stop and start. I want to open, I want to connect. No, I want to protect myself. I want to open, I want to connect. No, I want to protect myself. And for those of you, we know there are many of you in the room here who are channeling students of Lisa's, you recognize this dynamic, yes? Because the channeling process is very similar. It's a microcosm, in a sense. Because when you go through the opening to channel process, if you are learning correctly, you will experience that, you will experience the potential for tremendous opening and the potential for deep self-protection at the same time. And so for many of you then, you might feel that push-pull again. And you might get down on yourself and think you're failing or you're not doing it right. But this is the irony of opening. Sometimes we give the channel images that are examples. And sometimes they're a little bit weird, and sometimes they're a little bit crude. And this is a crude one, all right? But it's the most descriptive one. So bear with us. We're trying to find the language that's a little bit more polite.
Spit it out.
All right. All of you have to poop, yes? Now, when you're walking around your life, you're not consciously aware of closing off the poop. Right? You actually have to, in a sense, put yourself in a right position and let go in order to release. Okay? So energy is similar. If I was to say to Ben, when I count to three, let go.
All right,
ready? 1, 2, 3, let go. How is he going to process that? Because humans cannot respond to letting go as a command, because it's not a doing. It's a not doing. And you know, we've been talking about this not doing idea for a very, very long time. And yet people still try to not do. So what we have to do then is just kind of plant the seeds of the idea of not doing and let those seeds kind of grow in you until you start to understand what it feels like to not do. So when we go back to this channeling idea we were talking about, the channeling idea, when you're doing your channeling process, as an example, is a not doing. And you're going to find that as you let go to the channeling process more, instead of trying to do it, Harry. you are going to notice changes in your ability to connect with the deeper aspects of yourself that are basically have been there all along and are waiting to be born when the sphincter opens. Okay? So to some degree, for not doing, even though not doing is a not doing, you still have to make yourself available for the not doing.
I think you left a big impression on
For the new people here, well, you can run for the hills if you want. So you still have to make yourself available for not doing, all right? But you can't not do the not, you can't do the not doing. Is that clear?
Yes.
All right. Yes. We're getting tongue-tied a little bit with that idea. All right. So, for those of you then that are feeling, we know we're taking a tangent. We're going to come back in a moment. So for those of you that are feeling that push-pull, that open-close, which can be very, very exhausting, know that you're not going around in circles. You're actually spiraling. So each time you experience the open and the close and the open and the close, you're not repeating the same thing. You are repeating it along a spiral. Because each time you experience the closure of yourself, you experience pain, psychological, emotional pain. And for those of you, we know many of you then will process that. And then you learn about yourself and you grow. So you've grown to another level of the spiral. So this is how you spiral through these types of growth experiences. So for those of you that are then listening, or those of you in the room who are experiencing that push-pull, that open-close, and getting down on yourself, please don't. Please know it's a natural part of the process. And basically, the best advice we can give is make yourself available for the opening. Just like you have to actually go to the bathroom and sit down to make yourself available. Yes, it's the same idea. When you do your practice, when you do your inner work, you're making yourself available for greater and greater openness within yourself. All right, reel in the tangent. Now we go down the direct road again. Okay, so now we want to look at this idea of each person being a fractal of the one hologram. And we're going to try to explain something that many people have wondered about for a long time, generations, not just recently. But first, let's look at fractal dynamics, all right, within group consciousness. So let's say you have, there are lots of people on your world who are very interested in what you call intentional community. So you find, let's say, 10 people who all have, seemingly on the surface, similar belief systems, similar goals, similar wants, and you get a big farmhouse together and you build an intentional community. Time goes by. What happens? Usually, disintegration starts, right? The same happens with spiritual organizations. Maybe there's a guru at the top, and then you have all the people underneath, and they all come together in this idea of peace and love, or whatever you want to call it, but then there's a lot of, let's say, rot in the group. All right, that's an example. We're being dramatic so we can describe what we're going to talk about. So why is that, then? Well, let's take one piece of a fractal and look at it. So we've got a picture of the apple, let's say. It's one piece of, one fractal of a holographic apple. And as we examine it really closely, so for example, this would be a person, a person's consciousness, okay? So let's use Bobby as an example. So I've got a map of Bobby's consciousness, her fractal, here in my hand. So I'm looking at it, and I see that there's this beautiful love, and there's pain in there, and there's shame, and there's a shadow, because everybody has a shadow. Oh, but Bobby's shadow's really deeply buried. Okay, so everybody has, within their fractal, all these pieces of unprocessed consciousness. This is the nature of consciousness when it fragments into a physical reality. Okay, so Bobby comes then to the community, and Harry comes to the community, and Ron comes to the community, but Ron starts to really bug Bobby.
I know why.
Maybe the way he breathes. Or the way he scratches his head or something. And then she gets angry. And all this stuff comes out. What's going on? When you have a community that does not fully understand and embrace that they are fractals of each other, then they see the other person as triggering them, or they see the other person as being at fault for how they feel. And everything spirals together. Okay, so let's say this community of 10 then breaks up and they become a community of 5. And now the 5 that are left are more quote-unquote compatible. And they live together for a while. But then Ben just is bothered by Harry. Or vice versa. And the whole thing starts again. So the community divides then. Okay, we really got to bring it together so that the people are really the only compatible people in this community. So now we're down to 2. Okay?
Harry and Bobby.
Harry and Bobby, exactly. Harry and Bobby are left in the community. And now this is fictional, my dears, all right?
I'm glad she said that.
Yes, it's totally fictional. But now Harry and Bobby are on each other's nerves. And maybe Harry feels, well, I can't make this connection. I can't live in as one consciousness with another person. So let's say he kicks Bobby into the doghouse. All right? Now we have only Harry left. He's sitting there by himself. And he's lonely. There's another dichotomy, yes? He's lonely. And he starts to meditate a lot. And he starts to realize his own fractal of consciousness. He starts to go inward. Instead of trying to create community out there, he tries now to create community inside himself with all of his unhealed parts, with all of the parts of himself that he has denied, that he's hated, that he's been ashamed of. And he starts to befriend them, and he starts to even go into the deepest, darkest shadow that he can possibly summon within him. And then he has a revelation. The revelation is that Bobby, that Ron, that Ben all have the same fractal. And maybe Harry's has a little bit more of this spice, where Ron's has a little bit more of that spice, but it is the same fractal of consciousness. And through this revelation, he knows that when he looks at Bobby or when he looks at Ben, he really does see himself. And it's not a mental realization. It is a deep, profound awareness. That is when consciousness starts to shift on a planet. So now we go to your Earth right now. And you might be thinking, Earth right now is far from that place. However, there are many on your world now who are starting to make this realization so that they can see why, perhaps you could say, spiritual communities don't really work so well, because it's a way to escape the inner fractal and to not embrace the reflective nature of the universe, where each and every one of you are the same holographic apple, but staring through a multitude of eyes. And so, as you begin to make this shift as a species on the individual level, it begins to spread to the collective level. Now, this is already happening on your planet. It's happening quietly. And when something like this begins to happen, what do you see? Huge resistance. Because those separated fractals that don't want to see that they are the same as everyone, that they are part of the whole, they don't want to give up control. They don't want to give up their view of reality. So they fight it. They resist it. They create chaos and distraction as a way to stop people from moving into what is the natural flow of evolution, which is coming back together as the hologram. That is your natural state. So this whole idea of stopping that process is just really an illusion. It cannot be stopped. But you're on an evolutionary process now, so timing is key. And it's not time yet for everything to come together, because there's still a lot of healing to be done. But you are on the road toward that idea. So now, Ronald.
Yes.
A woman that Lisa knows sent a message to her. Can you read it for the group, please?
Just the highlighted portion.
Yes, right? Just the highlighted portion.
I have been feeling less and less interested in spiritual matters. I think that it is because I'm a little disgusted these days with where the mystery school teachings and the manifestation movement has been going, and how awakening has been hijacked by people pushing conspiracy theories that are less and less grounded and more about us versus them. The yoga movement, the interest in psychedelics, etc., makes everything sound like a shallow party. I'm uninterested in anything about astrology and eclipses and gateways. I'm just exhausted in living my normal life. I have only wanted to sleep or stay at home and watch the dogs and take care of the family. I have maybe assumed I was taking a counterweight position to what is happening out there. But do you have any comments? Well, it's all done. It's just made me uninterested in anything spiritual. I kind of feel disgusted about it, and I'm turning away. I kind of just want a normal job. Not a healer job, a spiritual job. An energy job. Just basic bricks and mortar job. Feels very strange.
All right. Sound familiar? Where she has gotten to, though perhaps she has not identified what it is yet within her, is she's gotten to this point where she understands nothing from out there is going to affect her happiness, her growth, her awareness. This sometimes starts as an intellectual idea, but yet the intellectual idea is more surface level. For her now, it's happening on that deep level of consciousness, where she is, in a sense, recognizing the illusory nature of physical reality. And a little bit of a death happens in the ego structure when that is recognized. So we say to her, probably she's listening to this recording, that this is a very good thing. though it does not feel very good because it feels uncomfortable, it feels painful, there might be anger coming up, apathy, etc., etc. But it is the dying of the more superficial aspects of the ego that have been ready to die. So, my dear, congratulations, and in a sense, happy birthday. So that brings us then to this idea of ego. And we know many of you in different forms have heard us talk about this in different ways, but we have to say again that there's the ego gets a bad rap. Some people believe that the idea is to kill the ego. But from a Pleiadian perspective, my people in my timeline right now are still physical, though in comparison to yours, we would say we are more evolved or more older, let's say, in our evolutionary process. So, in your reality, when you have gone to that deepest, deepest, deepest polarity, which is necessary for your evolutionary process, that's when ego is the strongest. That's when me and mine, Agent Smith in the Matrix, me, for those of you who understand that reference, that's when the ego is absolutely the strongest, and that is when the fractals do not want to come together. But you've gone through that deepest part already of evolution. You're coming up the bell curve now, which means that that ego suit is becoming too small, like a wetsuit that's starting to strangle you. So you have to, in a sense, start to cut holes in it or disintegrate various parts of that ego suit so that your true nature can breathe. And this is part of also what is the pain that is being experienced on a collective level on your world right now. Especially for those people who are not spiritually inclined, who maybe feel like they're treading water, just barely breathing above the surface, and they don't even understand why they're feeling anxiety or why they're feeling depression. It's because that ego suit of separation is starting to strangle many, many beings. Those of you here who are listening to this lecture, you have already gone taken this journey or begun this journey with your own awakening process. So you've already begun to shed some of the pieces of that wetsuit, so to speak, that are constricting you. But this is part and parcel of this awakening process, which is the recognition of your fractal nature in relationship to the other fractals and in relationship to the whole. There's no way for us to assure you that what you are experiencing is normal in terms of species evolution, because you don't have other than channeled beings such as myself, you don't really have others who can talk to you who have been through it already. But this is what is happening. The squeezing of that wetsuit, making you feel like you're choking or that you can't breathe, is necessary to, in a sense, propel you to the next level. Because unfortunately, human nature is such that you don't act until you're in pain. And, well, that's not just human nature, that's the nature of physical beings in general. Is that pain is the kick in the butt, so to speak, that gets you to move to a new level of consciousness. So everything that is being experienced on the planet right now, as disgusting as it is to many of you, as horrible, as painful as it is part of that strangling, part of that dying of the superficial layers of ego that are no longer needed for you to move to the next level of your experience as a human being. Because it does get better, my dears. And the forefathers before you, from my world, from many, many, many worlds, have been through this. And we all remember what it feels like. So it's another reason why there is so much interest and assistance that you are given at this time, because we know what it feels like. Therefore, we go back to the story of the community. And we go back to the community of one called Harry. And what did Harry do? Well, he was alone. And the only thing he could do was go inward and explore his own fractal and look into those dark corners and open himself where he never wanted to open himself. And through that work, yes, my dear.
Well, the thunder just went off.
Ah, we did not hear that. All right. Through that work, he was able then to transcend the projective nature of third density ego, which is projecting onto other people, and begin to move himself into the reflective nature that is fourth density reality, which has to do with beginning to see and feel and sense and accept and embrace that every single other person is the same fractal of the apple, is the same fractal of the hologram of consciousness, and you are really only interacting with yourselves. This might sound metaphysical, it might sound esoteric, but it is actually literal. This is how consciousness is. Right now, you have the gift, though many of you might not think it's a gift, but you have the gift right now of dual consciousness, meaning you have the fractal alone you squeezed into the skin-tight wetsuit that's strangling, but the one that can experience quite a intense reality. And you have the you that is the holographic you that up until this point has been kind of shoved under the bed and allowed to peek out every now and then, but who now is not only peeking out from under the bed, is getting out and dancing naked, so to speak, in your room at night when you're terrified. Where did that come from? We don't know. So this period of time is a very tenuous period for all civilizations. We have to say, we know you may not agree, you are all doing very well, but it is a precarious time. And that means that the biggest work right now is to stop being distracted by the external. That is the biggest work right now. If something triggers you in the external, look within. Even if it's something that is horribly dark, look within. Because if it's triggering you, it's something in you that is seeking the light within you. You don't even have to understand it. You don't have to go into a past life and understand who killed you and or what you did in that past life. While that might happen organically, it's not necessary, especially when you're working at the holographic level of consciousness, where you're working on the levels that go beyond the linear understanding of the stories. This is where some of Ron's work here is touching. Helping to get you to those levels where you can work on an energetic, non-linear way, because things are moving too fast now to do anything linearly. All right, we have probably burned your ears off. We've burned her throat, yes? Did you follow what we were saying?
Yes.
Comments? Questions?
Well, like Yoda said, there is no try, only not do.
Only not do, yes, very good. Ronald, what were you so excited about?
Huh? I was just looking around the room to see if anybody was going to...
No, a moment ago.
A moment ago?
He does not even remember. He isn't so in the moment,
yes? The lightning went off when you were talking, so it was crescendo on doing the shadow work.
Ah, all right. Well...
Wow, very poignant.
Speaking of which, then, more than poignant, if the lightning went off when we were talking about doing the shadow work... That points to the Sirian energy.
Yes.
So, some of you know the story about what happened in Japan at the contact retreat with the Sirian energy. But to sum it up, now that Hamon has discussed this, we, Germaine, and others are free to talk about it. But your Sirian forefathers have a missing piece of history that they have not wanted to talk about because it has been shameful for them. And they were also waiting for the right time. So in Japan, it was discussed about the ancient, dark Sirian past and how they healed themselves. Now, we cannot go into the whole story here because, well, it was ours, yes? But there is an audio if you really have to listen to it, or you can ask Lisa a little bit about it. But suffice it to say that they have stepped forward now and have begun sharing this piece of galactic history. And it was really a missing piece that through all the channelings Lisa has done and others have done, it's been sidestepped a little bit because the timing needed to be right. The timing is right now because as they are revealing their past, their dark past and how they healed it, it is coinciding with this dark energy on your world that is being purged. And that too is a very necessary part of the evolutionary process. Many species are too afraid to go into the shadow, and they push that energy down. Many of you know the story about my Pleiadian heritage, how my people, when we were very, very young as a species, absolutely refused to entertain anything negative, to process anything negative, so it all went into the closet. It all went into the closet. Well, you know, your closets are only so big, and pretty soon you can't close the door of the closet. So in my species, then, the tipping point came when we had pushed down so much of our shadow that it began to affect us in plagues on our world. And no one could cure them. No one could understand on the medical level what was happening. And it was our spiritual leaders, who you might call shamans, our version of that, who began to see that it was the darkness knocking from the closet door and ready to spill out and had to be addressed. And that was how my species healed itself. So you on Earth, we would say, comparing you to us, you are not as frightened of the dark as we were. But you still are a bit. And that's normal. But it's getting to the point now where it's starting to purge out. And that means, since you are fractals of the whole, that in one shape or form within each of you, it is also starting to purge. And remember, as we've said, it's just energy. Do not give it power by calling it anything evil or don't personify it in that way. It is just an energy that has been ignored. It has been an energy of resistance, an energy of fear. That is all. And it is coming out. And it comes out energetically. It can come out without a story. Just allow it to flow, much like you would allow any energy to flow. Little by little, little by little. All right, so we're talking a lot tonight. Is anybody there?
We have extremes showing up.
What do you mean?
Extremes in ego.
Oh, yes.
Showing up in public life.
Yes.
And certainly in private life as well. And I'm seeing that as a function of energy flow as well.
Yes.
That you mentioned spirals.
Mm-hmm.
Everything spirals.
Mm-hmm.
The universe is based on spiraling energy, density and pressure and movement of energy outside of that oneness. Right? So it's always moving back and forth between negative and positive, from positive to negative, from negative to positive. But that's because there's a spiral happening. And not only there's a spiral, but as it spirals, if you look at liquid dynamics, when you have a spiral happening, things spiral into the center, and then they spiral back out. So what's happening now is everything is spiraling to the point where it's being seen.
Mm-hmm.
All these extreme.
It has to be seen.
It has to be seen, because if it doesn't get seen, we'll miss it when it spins back in. And we have to go through the whole process.
And that's the precarious thing, is that it has to be seen, but if you see it and blame it or project on it, mm-hmm. you're setting yourself up for another spiral cycle.
Right.
Sorry we're interrupting you, but can we?
Yes.
All right. So, this leads us to, based on what you were saying and this idea, we're just going to draw an infinity symbol here. And we put plus and minus. Well, sorry, it's not very artistically appealing, but... And that's how the energy moves. But you notice, Ronald, of course, we don't have your balloon here, yes? He talks about this with a wonderful balloon. There's a point here, right at the center. It's a neutral point. And in Japan primarily, and this will most likely be in the book coming up maybe next year, Hamon has talked about what he calls the Syrian formula. The Syrian formula is talking about how to stay in the neutral point and not flip-flop back and forth. Now, it sounds like a very esoteric thing, and it sounds almost like an impossible thing, but a lot of it has to do with watching yourself and knowing yourself, knowing your habits and patterns, knowing yourself in a naked way where you can see when you are getting into an old habit, when you are damaging yourself. So in July, Hamon, at the contact retreat in Japan, he was talking about the Syrian dark, painful past and how the Syrians healed themselves from their darkness. Now, his words are much more profound and dramatic. He's very dramatic. He's a little bit of a drama king, but we like to tease him. But he was talking about how when their civilization was in its darkest time, they were caught in a specific dynamic of polarity. One side was resisting the darkness, hating it, pushing it away. The other side was craving it, craving the darkness, craving the power, basically, the ego upliftment, the control. And that when you allow yourself to stand in the center point and you've developed the skills of self-observation, and it's not really a mental process, it's more of a sensing process, sensing of your own nature, sensing of your own energy, you can begin to sense when you are pushing it away, and you can sense when you're craving it. And so for these ancient Syrians, when they healed their civilization and awakened themselves, they had to learn how to stop craving, or let's say, when they craved the power, craved the control, they would recognize, they would see it, but they would not push it away. They would acknowledge it, maybe they might learn a lesson from it. They wouldn't resist it, they would just let it be. They would not act on it either. The same is true on the other side. When they would habitually want to push something dark away, to not look at it, to shove it under the rug, they would also not act on that urge to resist or to hate or to push away. They would simply try to stay in the center point, notice that dynamic, learn from it. Now, over time, as you do this over and over and over again, what happens? The craving for those patterns gets weaker and weaker. And it becomes eventually so weak that there's no impetus at all to fall to one side or the other. And that is when you are able to maintain the center point and view it all. So right now on your world, without talking politics, we will talk politics, yes? You have one side, you have another side. And it is amazing to us how each side accuses the other side of something that is exactly what the other side is accusing that side of. They are mirror images. And so many groups are so interested in blaming the other person, they are not looking at themselves. So in that sense, we could say they're not using the Syrian formula. Yes. So right now then, you as individual beings, even though of course you're a fractal of the whole, you as individual beings are given a very important test. Now, we don't want to say a test as if it's somebody's grading you. That's not what we mean. It's more of a challenge to help you with your spiritual growth. You're given this challenge of seeing this intense polarity happening on your world. And you're given the choice of how you are going to deal with it. You can dive headlong into the stories and blame the other side that you don't like. You can be an activist if you wish. There's nothing wrong with being an activist. It has to do with what is the motivation. Are you marching for women's rights because women's rights fill you with joy? Or are you marching for women's rights because you're angry at the patriarchy? One has a different energy than another. What you see back will be based on the energy you're putting out. Simple energy dynamics. So you are then being given this challenge. As the wetsuit gets tighter and you feel like you're choking more and more, and as the sides are getting more and more and more polarized, what do you do? What do you do? Do you do anything? All of this is a reflection of the fractalized energy within you that is still seeking to be healed. And there's no shame in that, because everyone has it. It's going to sound very nerdy, maybe, but from our point of view, as a non-human looking in, this is one of those special times on Earth that in the future you will look back on with nostalgia and fondness at, oh, look at those poor, well, we're being dramatic, all right, but, oh, look at those humans, who they were back then, how hard it was for them. But, you know, like when you've gone through a challenging situation that you've come through, that period of time in your life is sometimes looked back on with fondness. And the future yous look back on this time that way, even though right now it certainly does not look like any reason for fondness. You do make it through, though, because of what you are doing now. Speaking of which, each and every one of you here in this room or listening on this tape, you are shifting things as you are listening to us. Because not only are we using this old-fashioned linear method of communication, we are downloading you energetically more of the complete package. So, the body here, Lisa and Sasha, is entertaining you while the download is happening. Let's put it that way. And those of you receiving this, those of you starting to understand even an inkling of what we're talking about, plant the seeds. So you might see more resistance before you see great strides in opening and awareness. But the resistance that you see is because those aspects don't want to change, and they will have a death grip, so to speak. So you can see that as a sign of progress. Because in a polarized reality, one side acts with the same force as the other. Right now, you are seeing only the things that create the drama. Because squeaky wheel gets the grease, yes? You're not seeing the counterforce on the other side that is helping to create the negative freakout. That counterforce is your awakening consciousness, which is being sensed by the aspects that don't want to relinquish control. Now, we're not talking about Illuminati or anything like that. We're talking about just the forces of energy, that's all. Not personalized. It's just the way polarized energy is. All right. Questions? Comments? There has to be.
I'd like to ask a question.
Yes.
Okay, now, so we're each a piece of this hologram. And so we're actually, you're saying we're the same, except elements of that hologram, each piece of it can have a different energy level. So that's why one person may be triggered by something that doesn't bother another person. But still, you can look at that other person as a complete replica of yourself. There's just some aspect. What happens when you die now? Do you go back into the bigger circle? The source, or whatever you want to call it?
Jim, you're tapping into... No, it's interesting. This is a teaching we also gave in Japan with a similar question, which will be in the book as well. But now you're asking about something that we are going to bring in Pleiadian teachings for. Okay, we call it the Golden Lake teachings. Basically, if you take the idea of hologram that we've just explained, and you equate it with a golden lake, like golden plasmic energy, liquid, of course, representing the hologram, and individual lifetimes, let's say, come out like drops, all right? So with that model, upon death, the drop goes back into the lake. Now, this is kind of, for some people, it's a bit of a radical model because your spirituality has been, like especially from the 1800s, has been kind of structured in a very linear way. But let's say this then. So you're the lake. Everyone's the lake. Okay? But you had to have these separate experiences, so drops were formed. Drops left the lake for the sake of the story. Okay? The drops each have a little man suit on, or a woman suit, and they go about their business, and then the suit dies, and the drop goes back into the lake. But notice, the drop goes back into the lake without the suit. The water of the drop, like a crystal, contains the experience that the man suit had. But when it goes into the lake, it dissolves like food coloring. It goes into the whole body. So the lake then, representative as the hologram, contains all memory. So then, another drop comes out of the lake. In essence, Jim is not having another life because the man suit's already dissolved. So when that other drop comes out of the lake, it might carry with it some gymnasts, so that when that man suit starts exploring spirituality, that man suit might have a spontaneous memory of being a guy with a ponytail in 21st century Earth. But that memory doesn't belong to just Jim. The memory belongs to the lake. So when you do past life exploration and you come up with a lifetime that seemingly fits with whatever it is you're processing right now. It's important to understand that lifetime doesn't belong to you, this man suit. This man suit is temporary. That memory belongs to the lake, and that is why many of you can have the same memory of a lifetime. Right? Because it belongs to the lake. It is very hard for the ego to understand that, but we've noticed it's getting easier and easier as the decades go by. This is another way to explain the idea of holographic consciousness. Now, this then you can say, in truth, that even your experience as Ron, as Solitaire, it doesn't really belong to you. You are an actor on a stage in a costume. And the idea of waking up has to do with remembering you are on the stage in a costume playing a role instead of becoming Hamlet and thinking you are Hamlet. Waking up is remembering you're not. And it's much more than a mental process. It's a visceral process. You feel and you know within yourself. The awakening process continues further when you step off the stage and you still are aware of yourself in a man suit, but the drama is up there. And you become more of the observer of the drama rather than the one generating it. You're no longer the performer. And awakening then continues when you leave the theater altogether. Those are the successive stages of awakening. This is why when some, going back to Belinda, the thing that was read by the person that contacted Lisa, when she was talking about the people that are invested in all the conspiracy theories and all of that, this is why those who are believing that understanding who is running the show on Earth means you're awakened. It just means you're still on the stage playing the role and thinking that that conspiracy is part of the real reality. But it's on the stage. Step back from the stage. Watch the actors. You are not one of them. And as you step farther and farther and farther away from the stage, the sun or the light of your consciousness, your true consciousness, gets brighter and brighter and brighter. One would mistakenly assume that it means you have no use for the world, that you become a hermit in a cave. But the paradox is that you become more human. And this is one of the paths of awakening the Syrians took as well. They finally embraced their bodies. They embraced the feel of being in a body with no story. They embraced the feel of what emotions feel like without pushing them away. They could watch whatever drama was unfolding and not get sucked into it. They could be fully present you have the saying in the world but not of it. It's similar to that idea, but it is not a dissociated state. It is actually a state of intense presence. That is where awakening leads. It has nothing to do with the drama happening on the stage. Maybe, Jim, we gave you much more than you asked.
Well, when you drop the body dissolves, does the ego go with it then? Does it dissolve too before you drop back in the lake?
Yes, for all intents and purposes, you could say the ego does dissolve, because the ego basically is an anchor. Its main function is an anchor to keep you grounded in a physical reality. What we mean by that is that your natural state is not to be squeezed into these man suits in a state of separation. Your natural state is that of holographic consciousness. So because your natural state is more like, metaphorically, a helium balloon, you need an anchor to keep yourself focused in physical reality. So the ego is that anchor. Therefore, when the body is released and you go back into the lake, the anchor is no longer needed. However, the anchor, the ego, has also been like, what would you call it, a recording device, let's say. It's not quite this simplistic, but whereby all the feelings, all the experiences that were distorted through the lens of the ego go back into the lake. So another drop may emerge from the lake carrying those distortions to continue the process of awakening. So that's how you might see that patterns are brought back and forth from lifetime to lifetime. But it's not personalized. It's more that the imprints are in the lake, and a drop comes out of the lake and carries those imprints. You would call that second drop another life, but it's not so linear in that way. Does that answer?
It's very much like the singularity, like a Planck hole with the filaments, the
fibers. I was
fibers,
just going there.
With all the information, it's never lost. And then that Planck is in the center of the fluid source. And so it just absolves inside of source.
Now, you, and perhaps you too, and many of you, have the ability to have profound imagery when you connect with these truths. And as you well know, the imagery is so limited to explain the fullness of the experience. But it's a good start. Yes?
Yeah.
Yeah, science definitely is catching up to spirit in that.
Science facilitates spirit.
Stephen Hawking finally caved and said, yes, information is not lost when right. Anything goes into a black hole. Every bit of information is retained in that black hole. And we know that this is a holographic universe, so where does it go? It goes into another universe. It becomes that information in another universe.
And it also creates the toroidal fields of all of our screens of the levels of consciousness that we have.
Yeah.
Nothing ever dies, yes. Nothing.
Spiraling in and spiraling back out somewhere else again.
Now you can see this could make your head explode. So that's what meditation is for, yes. To have the experience. Now maybe some would say that's what equations are for, because some can experience the euphoria and the awakening through the equations.
Yeah.
But for most of you, it's through meditation and through your own inner experiences that these truths unfold.
The equation is boxing the idea. The visualization is expansive. It's just all-inclusive and gets you closer to the oneness.
But the mental body has to transform too. And this was something the Syrians learned as well. that the mental body, much like the ego, cannot be, you cannot aim to destroy it. You have to include it. So, therefore, when you have the merging of science and spirituality, you have the merging of the heart and the mind. And it's necessary. As you well know, in the ancient past, science and spirituality were one idea. And as you went deeper and deeper into separation, they became two ideas, and now they are coming back again together. Comment? Question?
Since you're in Japan so much, is the center point more centered in Japan than it is in the United States? Or the neutral point?
That's an interesting question. It's different. Because they have... Now, are you talking about the people, the collective country? Oh, all right, all right. They have a deep fear of the emotional body. And because of that, there is a tendency to move into the mental body. Now, we know that's true also in the West as well, but characteristically, that is the energy we see the most right now. And a lot of it is culturally, but some of it is genetic in terms of star energies as well. And that's a whole other tangent. But for them right now, it is the opening of the emotional body that they are working toward. And it can often be a struggle for them.
Interested in the cultural difference. That's fascinating.
Yes, it's...
Because I feel like I'm always usually towards the neutral area.
Well, you know, we have been working there now through Lisa for almost 30 years. So we have, right when what you call the New Age movement started, so we've been able to view the progress in the last 30 years, which has been very rapid compared to spiritual progress in other, like in the West, as an example. You started earlier and have, we don't want to say taken your time, but you've spread it out. But they have had to have intense movement because of the things that they have chosen, such as the earthquake and Fukushima, and of course not to mention Hiroshima, Nagasaki, and everything else that they have endured. They have been forced, in a sense, to more rapidly evolve themselves. So, interesting question. Thank you. Does that answer?
Yes.
Anyone else?
I did a hypnoregression about 4 months ago, and I did go back into a past life of my own, and you spoke about the dark side of the Syrians and how they went into it, and for some reason I'm being compelled to mention the word pylon. In my regression, I kept saying that the pylons were cracked, which is when Earth's evolution kind of went from one stage to the next. I was wondering if you could expand on that and what the role of the Syrians could be.
In how long? Yes.
We have, what, 30 minutes?
Oh, where would we start with that? Well, of course.
What's a pylon?
Well, pylon. What we're seeing is that pylon is representative of a specific time period on Earth. It's a symbol communicating that idea. Okay.
Is it a turning point?
We're seeing it as like a pillar. Mm-hmm. Is that the definition of that word?
It's
yes.
Pylon, pillar?
An Egyptian pylon is almost like a post and lintel with two obelisks on
yes.
either side. Like
yes.
Way.
Yes. Yes. That's how we were seeing it as well. You know, very often, especially when you're doing past life regression work, your unconscious will give you symbology like that. That is, in a sense, a bunch of bundled downloads in the symbology. Okay? So when you're asking the question, what we're seeing is that the pylon is one of those bundled informations, downloads, that has to do with, yes, Egypt, but we're going to go farther than that, more like Babylonia. Mm-hmm. Okay? And that was a time period on Earth when the Syrians were here, many others were here too. And that was also a time period during which a lot of this dark energy was played out, the Syrian dark energy. So, oh my goodness, if we had 4 hours, we could talk more about it. Recently, in a session we did in Japan, we shared about actually, it was Germaine that created this, but it's a diagram of the galactic family. And you can come look at this when the session is over. We'll leave it up here. About the different migratory paths. Now, within the information we've given about galactic history, we basically have used two lineages, a Lyran lineage and a Vagan lineage. And any of you who have read Prism of Lyra, you will understand what we mean by that. Now, when we're talking about the Syrian lineage, they are the most recent ET influence on Earth. And their influence was very active during the times of Atlantis, Babylon, Mesopotamia, Egypt, and even some of ancient Greece and that area, Turkey, etc. This was a time period when Syrians were influencing all over the world, some in a positive way and some in what you would call a negative way. And this was when some of the negative patterning of the Syrian power struggles, let's say, was embraced on Earth by consciousness that needed to play out those ideas. So for your past life that you had, past life regression, the pylon for you were sensing is representative of the seer. Can we just speak freely?
Yes, of course.
Okay. Lifetimes you had as a Syrian being during that time on Earth in which you were very conflicted. It's more than one lifetime. Now, we understand we gave the lecture before about the lake and all of that, but the human right now that we're talking to is connecting with this more in a linear way, so we're going to use that method of communication with you, all right? So these particular Syrian lifetimes were very conflicted with going back and forth between what you would call the dark and the light, or shall we say the dark and the savior complex, so to speak. Is this making sense to you?
Oh, yeah, sure.
All right. So the pylon is representing the idea. What does a pylon do? It holds up a heavy structure so it doesn't collapse, right? The idea of pylon is representing the idea of how you were trying. The overall theme of these lifetimes was for you, was you trying to create a structure that would not collapse. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does.
All right. Does that help?
Oh, yes, of course.
All right. Yes, it's a little bit esoteric and complex, but that'll give you something to chew on for now. Anyone else? We might as well just keep going. We're not going to give her a break. Yes. Channeling students. You've been quiet. Let's ask you this. Has anything that was shared tonight connected with you in your process with your channeling work? No?
Yes. Yeah.
Should we take the hint that we're no longer needed?
There's a channeling grunter. That's the next one.
Channeling grunter?
Yeah. Well, you're using the bathroom.
Ah, ha, ha. Got it.
I always ask you and try to engage the comedic end.
It's always necessary, my dear.
I wonder how the what the Pleiadians find comical about us. That's
everything.
Everything. A couple analogies of jokes. Even though if we don't get it, there will be something for us to think about.
Well, we usually make fun of Zetas and Syrians mostly. The Syrians make fun of us, so it's all's fair. But in terms of humans, that's a good question. This is not going to be funny to you, okay? It's funny to us. You know, you have A plus B equals C, that idea, right? And it's a flow. But humans take a lot of time to move from A to B to C. They think it to death. So
it is funny.
Okay. Would you agree?
Yes.
All right. And you know, sometimes we are speaking to you and we can hear the wheels or sense the wheels, and we wait for you to get to C, and C seems so obvious.
So what would be the one-liner joke with the punchline?
My dear, that's your job.
I'll try to.
That's your homework assignment. Because, you know, we have to work with the brain of the channel, and she does not have talent in that department. You'll be waiting all night for an answer of that. You're all welcome to email Lisa with your answer to that question, yes?
I wrote this film 36 years ago, Reflections. Film I wrote about somebody losing his reflection and having to see his reflection in everybody else around him. And I've gone from A to B with that idea, and it took me 36 years to get to C.
Case in point, my dear. So in the old days, when we first came to channel through this channel, of course, the mass consciousness was very different at that time. So we delivered information a lot slower, not in speed, but in content. And over time, the information has gotten more packed with things that need unpacking, let's say. So you guys are processing more now than you were 20, 30 years ago. And a lot faster, but we can still feel those wheels. So we're going to ask you this question because we want you to look at yourselves. So before you get to C, when you're processing A and B, what do you think it is that stops you from getting to C quickly?
Fear of being wrong.
Ah, yes.
Doubt.
Doubt, yes. Exactly.
Alcohol?
That could be as well. Habits, patterns,
worthiness.
Exactly.
Distraction.
We work too much with our mental body and we don't feel it. And we don't trust the feeling of our feeling body.
I like that.
Very good. Okay, she's getting the gold star tonight. Not that you can have a purple star, all right? But yes, you are absolutely right. Now, going back to looking over the last 30 years, we're seeing humans getting more and more and more into their feeling bodies. But now let's ask you this. Why do you think you're not letting yourself into the feeling body?
It hasn't been part of our culture, our society. We've been living under a pretense of how we're supposed to be, and we have not given ourselves the space to feel, or we felt community has kept us within the structure.
That's true. We want to go under that, because the as we see it, one of the reasons this is part of your Pleiadian heritage. This is where your civilization and our civilization are linked. And it has to do with the fear of feeling. The fear, especially of feeling pain. Whatever that pain is, whether it's physical, mental, emotional pain. My civilization was terrified of that. And as we said earlier, that was why we shoved it under the rug and we created the plagues. Your civilization is also very afraid. Now, going back to the question earlier about the Japanese, we have found their fear of feeling is even greater than yours in the West. And usually that stems from an intense sensitivity. So it's kind of a dichotomy that the most sensitive are the ones that feel the deepest, but they're also the ones that fear feeling. So in a sense, you're never embracing your true nature. This, again, going back to the Syrians, we feel like they're in the room, we keep talking about them, but going back to Syrian history, this is also one of the things they had to do to awaken themselves too, was to learn what it felt like to truly feel without story. Because now, even going back to the A plus B equals C thing, even now, when a human has something come up, like a back pain or a migraine, those of you who are spiritually inclined, you might start asking yourself, okay, A is the migraine, B has to be the reason I'm creating it. And then you think about it, and you think about it, and you examine it, and instead of feeling it. Because actually, when you feel it, when you let yourself be fully present with it, without a story, without having to understand it, C automatically arises. It bubbles up into your awareness in a way that it could never do when it is chased after by the mind. Does that make sense? So, within your galactic family then, now, of course, you guys here on Earth, being the mongrels that you are, you mongrels are the cutest, of course. Big floppy ears, yes?
That's a nice save.
Being the mongrels that you are, you carry so many of the patterns of your galactic family, but being that you are all fractals, you carry the similar patterns, but often for different reasons. So this fear of feeling is both a Pleiadian, but it also goes back to Vega as well. It actually goes back to original separation, because in the oneness, you never felt a mosquito bite, you never felt a migraine, you never felt that kind of intensity. When you go into fragmentation, now you are feeling everything in a way that is, that can be overwhelming. So what is one of the first responses? Shut down, become less sensitive, and then try to navigate through reality using the mind. Of course, eventually you discover, as all of your galactic family has, the mind is a dead end. And the way to find your way out of the dead end of that maze is to go back to the feeling body. So once again, you can't escape it, so to speak. Make sense? Mm-hmm. So yes, the cultural habituation is part of it. You go under it even deeply. Universally, pretty much, it's the fear of feeling pain.
And the fear that we're an unwanted child in a hostile universe, and we're so vulnerable and open.
Well, that's pain.
Yeah.
We're reducing it to its simplest. Fear of pain, whether it's emotional pain or physical pain, just pain.
So how do the Palladians live? Do they feel separation? Are they part of... I mean, I know we're not as evolved as they are, but even in the involvement of the Palladians, are they still in the separation? Are they back in the lake, or are they still kind of getting
there? Well, no, that's a very good question. However, our answer is going to give you a headache, maybe. But it depends on which time stream you are asking about. Because if you're asking the question from my time stream, my people are still physical. Still have bodies, although the bodies, you would say they're more, less matter and more light, but still bodies. So we still have the separation, but we've already gone through maybe 90%, 95% of the biggest, the heavy lifting with the healing process, let's say. So our sense of separation, the feeling of separation, the pain of the feeling of separation usually comes when we feel someone is not understanding us, and therefore we can't connect with them. So, masochist, I come to Earth. Where? Okay, there's some humor for you, all right? But we do have to say, though, again, looking over the 30 years, we are feeling much more connected, much more understanding of with humans than 30 years ago. Much, much more. So there's always that movement. Now, if you're looking at what would be for me future Pleiadian, let's say right on the brink of non-physicality, there's not so much of that pain, except we would say the pain would be more of the longing. How can we describe this? The longing to go back to the whole, while at the same time knowing we're still in a tiny bit of separation. So it's a bittersweet feeling of separation. Bittersweet, it's beautiful, painful at the same time. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Is Sasha considered 7th, 8th, 9th density? What would that...
Well, we use a scale of 7 densities. So, much like a rainbow. And if you look at a rainbow, you have the colors bleed into each other, so there's not a sharp division between the densities or the rainbow colors. Densities or consciousness, states of consciousness, if you don't know the term density, is very similar. They bleed into each other. So humanity then has been within what we call a third density reality for the last ish 13 to 26,000 years ish. And that was the state of the most intense separation. But since what you call the galactic alignment of 2012, all of this has to do, it's not some magical thing, it has to do with energy dynamics within your galaxy. You shifted to another position where you've exposed yourself to a different type of energy flow. So the integration has started, which means that you now have started to move into a fourth density consciousness. So on that spectrum then, Sasha is three quarters of the way, perhaps, half to three quarters of a way through fourth density, where human Earth, right now, you've just stepped over into fourth density and you're in the very, very beginnings of it. Eventually, fifth density leads to the beginnings of no longer physical bodies. So you move more into light bodies. And then eventually, and that's the fifth density expression, is more of that light body experience until you start merging with group consciousness. And then as you go into sixth and seventh density, it becomes much more group consciousness, a non-physical group consciousness. So now...
Cool, thank you.
Yes, does that help? Yes.
That brings up an interesting thought. The rainbow body, when a master attains a rainbow body...
We do not know that term, my dear.
Rainbow body. The Tibetan monks would meditate themselves... out of the physical and just completely go into the rainbow body.
Ah, they call it that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Ah, all right. Thank you.
Is that like moving directly from third, fourth density into fifth density, boom, or beyond?
No, it's not that at all. This is a wonderful question. It's actually... attaining the awareness of recognizing yourself on all levels of consciousness simultaneously. Mm-hmm. The full rainbow.
Yeah.
Yes.
Got it.
And on that note, we just noticed it's time. Thank you for allowing us to prattle on tonight, yes. And we hope that we have planted some seeds for some of you that you can water and nurture, and that they will nourish you from this point forward. We thank you for sharing this evening with us, and once again, we encourage you to look at what is happening on your world in a way that is representative of the movement of evolution and not in any way the stagnation of evolution. So, if you can reframe it that way, you can perhaps see the little subtleties happening that are easy to miss with the drama of the nightly news, yes? All right. Much, much love to all of you. And for now, a fond good night. Lisa will be back in a moment.